Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Continuing now our study of John's account of the resurrection of Christ in chapter 20 of his Gospel, we pause to welcome you to this Thursday, May 6th edition of the Beacon Broadcast and to encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 5, entitled Old Rags and Wineskins from Luke chapter 5. Old Rags and Wineskins, one of my favorite parables in all the New Testament. And you can have a copy by writing to us, giving us your name and mailing address and the call letters of the station, and of course letting us know that you'd like to receive Sermon of the Month number 5, and we'll send it to you on an audio cassette, or if you prefer, mention that you'd like to have a CD, and we'll send it in that form. And we'll honor your request if you will write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Well, in continuing our study of John's account of the resurrection, you remember that the chapter opens by emphasizing the outstanding devotion of Mary of Magdala. We generally call her Mary Magdalene. And she, along with the other women, were the first to come to the tomb and to witness the empty tomb. And Mary was the one who hurried back to tell Peter and John that the tomb was empty, the first one, therefore, to report the empty tomb. And she told them that somebody must have taken away the body of Jesus. She assumed that grave robbers had been at work. Peter and John came to investigate, and we find that John's faith in Christ's resurrection was stimulated by the appearance of the grave clothes inside the empty tomb. But then John and Peter returned to their lodging in Jerusalem. Though John believed now that Jesus must be risen from the grave, the impact of that had not filled his heart with such joy and enthusiasm that he was driven out to talk to others about it. He was still, I think, turning over in his mind. Could this be true? He had believed it, but he was not yet ready to act upon it. This tells us a little bit about the way faith operates in the soul. Oftentimes, a truth first has to be embraced and then absorbed and then acted upon. And John is in that absorbing stage. Peter, I don't think, even has embraced the truth yet. And neither of them, therefore, are ready to act upon the truth of the resurrection. But now the spotlight returns to Mary Magdalene. And we need to trace her journey from the deepest doubt and despair to the place of deep settled joy and faith. And so we're going to be looking at Mary Magdalene's journey from despair to joy following the resurrection of Christ and seeing in this an illustration of the development of faith in the hearts and lives of men. And so now we read in John 20, verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." Mary is now left alone. She apparently was there when Peter and John came to investigate the empty tomb, or maybe they had already left before she returned. Remember, she had left the tomb to go into the city and to report to Peter and John that the tomb was empty. They ran out of the city to come investigate. If Mary Magdalene did not run or did not hurry, it is very possible that she was not there when they entered the tomb and made their examination and then departed. So whether she was there and they left her alone, or whether they had already departed and she returned alone, it's impossible to say, but one thing is clear, that now Mary is alone at the tomb. When she came the first time, she was in the company of other women. Now, at this time, she is all alone, and her faith is defeated. It's almost extinguished. Alone in her devotion to Christ and with her own thoughts. She's alone with her emotions. She stood without the sepulcher, we read, and as she wept. That tells me that John had not communicated his new faith to her. John, remember, saw and believed. But he had not communicated that faith to Mary. He had not communicated, I think, to anybody at this point, that he now believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. I don't think he even communicated this to Peter. Like I say, many times we have to, first of all, embrace a truth, then absorb the truth, and third, act upon the truth. And John had not yet acted upon the truth. He had embraced it, he was now absorbing it, and he would eventually be ready to act upon it. So Mary is now alone, and she's weeping as an expression of her grief. She apparently still believes that the body of Jesus has been displaced from the tomb, and I think views this as another indignity on top of all the rest. And now it seems like her heart must break. It's more than she can bear. She has already been devastated by his cruel crucifixion. And now she had taken some comfort in his honorable burial. But she comes to the tomb. It's empty. Somebody's stolen away the body of her Lord. And it's like the final straw has broken the camel's back. And she weeps and weeps. Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept. But let me point out to you that she is weeping unnecessarily. She weeps, but she really has no cause to weep. If she only believed the word of God, if she only matched the witness of the empty tomb with the words of Christ and the words of the Old Testament scripture, that would be a truth which would turn her weeping into joy. She's weeping without any reason to weep except she's weeping because of what she believes based upon experience and ignorance and unbelief. Dear friends, there are many times when we weep because we have genuine cause to weep. There are real things that have happened to us that are very difficult for us to bear. And we give way to our emotions and we weep because we have grievous burdens that are objective in their nature. But sometimes we weep for no objective reason, only because of feelings and emotions which are present and they're very real in that respect, but they are only there because our emotions have not lined up with the truth. Our emotions have not been corrected by objective fact. And may I remind you that though emotions are very much a part of who we are, God has made us emotional people, and we should not try to stifle our emotions or suppress our emotions. I'm not suggesting that at all, nor am I suggesting that genuine Christianity has no place for emotions, but what I'm reminding you is that we must discipline our emotions to follow fact. Or maybe I should put it this way. We must train the subjective to follow the objective instead of the other way around. Or maybe to put it this way, we must allow truth to instruct our emotions, not allow our emotions to alter or to shape our understanding of truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? And far too many of us are guilty of letting our emotions shape our understanding of truth. Yes, that's what the Bible says, but this is the way I feel about it. Yes, that seems to be what the Bible teaches, but I just can't accept that. I don't know how many times I've had people tell me things just like that. Sadly, sometimes members of my own congregation that I have taught, some of them for years, and tried to get them to understand, we must believe the Bible, we must believe the Word of God, we must accept the Bible as objective truth and command our emotions to get in line with the objective truth of God's Word. But that's easier said than done. And in spite of that, and I think virtually everyone in my congregation would say that they believe what I just stated. They know that's true, and they intend to order their life upon it. Still, there are times when certain things come along, and it's apparent that that truth has not permeated to the very core of their being yet. Maybe they're doing that some of the time, maybe they're doing that most of the time, but they still obviously are not doing that all of the time. In fact, I wonder if any of us are capable of doing that all of the time. We are emotional creatures, and sometimes our emotions rise up and take control of our lives and cause us to doubt the Word of God that we should believe. Cause us to reinterpret the Scripture in the light of the way we feel rather than in the light of what the Bible actually says. And I'm just saying to you, when you do that, number one, you are in error, and you are dishonoring the Lord. And number two, when you do that, you are harming yourself unnecessarily, because you are in some kind of turmoil, because your emotions are telling you one thing, the Bible is telling you the opposite. And you are struggling, you are in tension, you are not at rest, you are not at peace, you are not capable of simply committing the matter to the Lord and walking away without frustration. You are filled with confusion and doubt and turmoil and frustration. Why? Because you are letting your emotions rule your understanding rather than letting your understanding direct your emotions. Mary weeps. She has no objective cause to weep. Objectively, the proof of the Word of God regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ has now been presented to her. She has found the empty tomb. What does that mean? It means that Christ is risen from the dead. But what does Mary think it means? She thinks it means that somebody has stolen away the body of her Lord. Why? Because she fails to believe the objective Word of God. She is already strung out emotionally because of everything that has happened, and now one more thing happens that she interprets in the light of her emotions rather than in the light of the objective truth of God's Word, and she is sobbing uncontrollably. May God teach us His truth by these things. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.